You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone, and you're all very welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 2, Episode 8. Kieran Burke and John Breyer in studio once again this week. John, you're welcome.
Thanks, Kieran. What a weekend we had of League of Ireland football.
What did you make of those scenes down at the RSC, John?
Oh, the battle of the RSC. 6 red cards in injury time. It was just crazy.
Yeah, and who do you feel was a fault? A lot of debate online after that event. A lot of people saying John Caulfield shouldn't have been on the pitch. Other people saying Bastian Heary's time wasting led to the whole incident. What did you make of it?
Well, I think the ball went into the dugout, didn't they? And Akinadi, he did the right thing, refused to give it back. Yeah, you know, he's trying to run down the clock. Then Caulfield ended up on the pitch, which he shouldn't have done. Bastian Heary obviously raised his hands to him, pushed him over. Shouldn't have done that. No. And then it all just kicked off.
I'd say some big bans on the way there.
Could well be, but I mean, red card, 3-match ban for a start, isn't it?
We'll obviously talk about the results now shortly, but what a result that was for Waterford, John. I was one of the very few who called it here last week. I said if Waterford could win this one, and I did think they would, that they'd be right in the title race and people might stop writing them off, because at the moment a lot of the pundits, this Waterford team will tail off, they'll tail off. This Waterford team isn't going to tail off, John.
No, it's not, and they're doing so well, and they're now joint leaders with Dundalk. We had a change at the top as a result of that match, but we're going to go into a bit more detail in that match in a few minutes, Kieran, but do you want to tell us what we've got lined up this show?
Yeah, so we have some huge guests on the show tonight, folks. Coincidentally, Waterford played Derry this weekend and we have guests from each of those clubs on. We didn't plan that, it just worked out that way. As we said last week, we'd have Rory Hale on, and we certainly have him this week, so we'll speak to the current Derry City star, and obviously he's with the underage sides at the Republic at the moment, so we'll speak to Rory about that, the new Brandywell Stadium, and Derry picking up some form as well, so loads to discuss with him there. We'll speak to Gavin Houlihan, a man we had on the show at the very start of the season. I don't think even he expected a start to the season like this for the Blues, so we will speak to Gavin about that and if he believes they're banging this title race. And finally, from the East, Tales from the East End podcast, a lot of you may be familiar with that, especially our Shamrock Rovers listeners, we have Gary Parsons, and we'll be getting our teeth stuck into everything that's going on at Tala at the moment. Obviously the goalkeeping situation, we've been one of the few shows that, you know, flagged that up really, really early on in the season, John. Week one, we were highlighting the goalkeeping situation at Rovers. It's only now that it's really coming to the fore after those two high, high profile mistakes from Kevin Horgan against Dundalk at the weekend, which cost Rovers the game. But we'll discuss that. So lots to discuss. We'll have our usual reviews of the weekend's action, our previews, our prediction game, and lots more. Obviously, some big news out of Inchicore today as well regarding the new stadium plans for St. Pat's. So, get the kettle on, folks. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Right, Kieran, we're going to go straight in anyway with the results from the weekend. And we're going to start off with that match, as we said, at the RSC. Waterford 2, Cork 1. That was only half the story, though.
Yeah, as you said, the melee there, John, was incredible. Good game of football, this one. Really high-intensity game. Great to see a sold-out RSC as well. That's something that a couple of years ago you could have never imagined the mess Waterford United were in. Obviously rebranded now to Waterford FC. But one man that really stood out was Vigro again in goals for Waterford. He's been a real star since he's come into the club.
You can look at a few players that have really starred for them since they've been promoted. Vigro, we talked about. Your man Doofus is doing well. The man we've on the show, Houlihan. You know, they've all been great signings, and they're really gelling well, Kieran. But, you know, I know you predicted this, but yeah. I have to say I was surprised with the results. I knew they were good, but, you know, I highlighted this as my match at the weekend, but I wasn't sure Waterford could win it. And they have, you know, and from the start they went 1-0 down. So that was a goal from a header from Conor McCarthy, turned in from a McNamee free kick. And, you know, it looked like, I'd have expected Cork to go on, but they've got some resilience as well as Waterford. And, you know, Cork had a chance again with McNamee corner and Buckley headed wide. But then Waterford started coming into the game, and we sort of saw Akinadi coming into it a bit more. He struggled a little bit so far this season of all the signings, but he put in some good work.
He seemed up for this one, John.
He did, yeah. And, you know, some good work for him led to the own goal that gave Waterford the equaliser.
Conor McCormack own goal, yeah.
Conor McCormack putting into his own net, that's right. The game swung again. A poor pass from Bastian Heary, actually.
Very unlike him.
Yeah, yeah. That like McNamee, but he put that wide.
Sorry, John, just to cut across there, but for me, I was going to say that was the turning point of the game for me. McNamee, one-on-one, ball just trickles by the post, looked like it was easier to score than miss. And from that, Waterford got real belief that they were still in the game, and you're going to continue the story for us now of what happened after that.
Yeah, we've talked about that front three of Cork, haven't we? How strong they are. And you expected McNamee to score that one, but he didn't. But again, that man Akinadi, he was instrumental in the second, and it was late on, and it was headed in by Doofus, who seems to be the man that's always in the right place at the right time at the moment. Yeah. That's a great net to have as a striker.
An incredible find from Waterford. Great pace, great composure, good ball control, good finisher. Just looks to have the full package. And it's hard to believe that he's had to come over to the League of Ireland to find his feet.
Yeah, that winning goal, Kieran, like I said, Akimadi instrumental in it, and header in by Doofus to make it 2-1. That was late on. There was one chance left for Cork, and it was a shot turned wide by Vigoro. It was sadly with the effort there. He scored loads of goals this season, but Vigoro equal to that one. And then we had the mass brawl, Kieran.
Yeah, look, we won't go any further into the mass brawl, John. I think everyone's seen the footage, and I think everyone has a different opinion on it. What we will do now, though, folks, we'll bring you a man that was involved in that incredible game on Friday night. It's, of course, Gavin Houlihan. So we're delighted to be joined on the show this week by Waterford FC midfielder. It's Gavin Houlihan. Gavin, you're welcome back to the show.
Cheers, lads. Thanks for having me.
So, Gavin, we had you on the very first week of the season in the lead-up to Waterford's first game back in the Premier Division. We spoke about the ambition for the year. I think it was all about consolidation and pushing up the higher reaches of the table, but I don't think anyone expected a start like this.
No, I suppose, if you had offered us this position before the start of the season, we'd have taken your arm off. It couldn't have gone any better, really. And I think we're... after showing some good performances and showing our qualities, and I think we are where we are on the table, and rightly so.
Yeah, and the win obviously against Cork was a huge show of ambition, and I suppose it was Waterford showing that they're the real deal this season. What did you make of the game overall? And it's a huge game this week again against Derry. The big ones are coming thick and fast for Waterford.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but, we had beaten Shamrock Rovers, the week before, and that was a big statement in itself, and of course, obviously, when you have the champions coming down to your ground, and there's a bit of pressure on to perform. We knew we were going to get a big crowd as well, so we knew we were going to be in for a tough game, which it was. I think it was pretty, the first half was pretty cagey, and I think both sides kind of didn't want to give too much away, and it was helter skelter in the middle of the park, especially for myself and the rest of the boys. And Cork obviously got the early goal, which is a bit of a setback for us. But we got in at half time, and we just kind of had a word amongst ourselves, that we weren't playing too badly. It was a silly goal to give away, but we were still very much in the game, and we were still confident that we could get back into the game. And luckily enough, now we got the first goal early in the second half, and we could push on from there. And, I think if you look at it overall, I think we were probably value for the 3 points on the night. We were delighted to get the win, and just it's got a bit of momentum now and confidence going into the Derry game Friday night. It's just another massive game for us.
And I'd imagine, Gavin, those massive home crowds you're getting at the RSC, sold out the other night, I imagine that's a huge boost to your home performances so far this season.
Oh, it is. It's massive. As cliche as it might sound, our fans are our 11th band, the noise they make, and it's a fortress nowadays, the RC, and that's what we kind of wanted going into the season. That's what we were hoping for, that the RC would be a difficult place for every team to come and play, and because of the crowds we've been getting and the support we've been getting and the atmosphere that's been created by the fans, it's certainly a place to come. And It helps us in the in the tight games, when we have the crowd behind us, and they're roaring us on, and they're kind of pushing us to the next level, and it's definitely helped us in a lot of the home games this year, get over the line and get the 3 points in many of the games.
Yeah, I mean, Kieran, I've been talking a lot about the standard of goalkeeping in the league, but it must give your team great confidence to have somebody like Luis Vigoro in goals. He's been excellent.
He's different class. Honest to God, I can't speak highly enough of him. He's... You obviously you hear before he came in, obviously, you know, he had a good reputation coming from Swindon, and you know, he had his spell at Liverpool and Tottenham as well, so he had a good bit of pedigree behind him. But you don't obviously know how good he's going to be until he comes in, and you could see right from the get-go his qualities. You know, he's just such a calm influence on everyone, especially the back four. You know, they feel safe with him behind them. You know, and he's pulled off some big saves for us this year, and I think he's won us you know, a lot of points as well in the past month or two. So no, he's different class. He's a great lad to have around the dressing room as well. He's full of banter, and you know, always laughing and joking and keeping everyone's spirits high. So no, he's definitely brilliant to have. And I suppose if you look at it in the game against Cork, you know, you had a lot of quality and going throughout like both teams, but I think in my opinion you had the two best goalkeepers in the league, and you know, that's something to be seen, you know, to see them showing their qualities. And you know, between himself and Nulls, you know, in my opinion I think they're the two best goalkeepers in the league at the moment.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. And to be honest, you know, Alan Reynolds has pulled off some great signings this season. Everybody's signed seems to be doing well. Ibarra's doing great, and obviously yourself. Bastian here has been instrumental in some of these performances this season. What's he like to work for, Alan?
Oh, he's brilliant. He's, you know, he's different. As much as, you know, you've probably heard stories, you know, he's a bit of a character, and, you know, he likes his laugh and a joke and to mess around, but he knows obviously when to kind of knuckle down and be serious, and you know, and prepare right for games. And you know, that's something that's really impressed me. He doesn't leave any stone unturned. You know, he prepares for every game down to the final detail, and he just goes out and gives us confidence. You know, he wants to go out and play the right way, be confident, and he gives everyone individually, you know, that license to go and express themselves, and obviously reap the benefits in our results this year. You know, we are where we are on the table, not just through obviously the performances of the players, but obviously the backroom staff and the coaching staff have prepared us for every game. And you know, I think it's a collective effort, really.
We here at Between the Stripes, we've always talked about earlier in the season about, you know, we think you're genuine title contenders. Is that the belief in the dressing room?
Listen, it's hard to say. Like I said, you know, starting off the interview, we'd have taken your arm off, you know, if you had offered us this before the start of the season. You know, first and foremost, we wanted to just try and get a good start, you know, and just make sure that we weren't kind of chasing our tails. We're in a great position at the moment, you know, and you know, we've shown that we're more than capable of holding our own against the, you know, the big boys in the league. We just need to try and maintain this now. I think between now and, you know, the break, if we can maintain it, then maybe after the break you might be able to start talking about that. But for now, you know, as a group collectively speaking amongst ourselves, we're just literally taking it, you know, game by game. Again, as cliche as that might sound, we literally are just taking it game by game, trying to pick up as many points as we can, and you know, we'll kind of evaluate things then once the mid-season break comes.
Gavin, before you go, we have to ask you about that big brawl at the weekend. Come on, give us the inside scoop. Who did you get stuck into?
Well, listen, I would be kind of getting stuck into any of my former teammates. So, you know, I was playing the peacekeeper more than anything. I had my good buddy Carol Shepherd. I had him kind of wrapped around the neck just to kind of pull him away. Not that he would have done anything now, to be honest. But I think I was just playing the peacekeeper. And listen, it put a bit of a sour note on the, you know, on the game, and obviously it was disappointing in a way to see it. But
do you think it's been blown out of proportion slightly, Gavin?
I think it has. To be honest, I think when you kind of look back on it, you know, you see the video. You know, at the time, you see, you know, 11 players from each team, and then the subs and everything getting involved. It seems like a big mass brawl, but you know, it was more kind of handbags.
Yeah, there was no punches thrown. We've seen far worse in leagues around the world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there was no punches thrown. I think it was just a bit of a scuffle. Everyone just trying to kind of get everyone off each other. And, you know, it was always going to be that way. You know, tensions were always going to be high. It's a Munster derby, but you know, I think it wasn't as bad as was first made out. And you know, you'd hope obviously that it doesn't lead to, you know, bands, big bands for either set of teams. Like,
Gavin, absolute pleasure having you on once again. Thanks very much for joining us, and congratulations on the great performances so far.
Cheers, lads. Much appreciated.
Cheers, Gavin.
Thanks, Gavin.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
Okay, great interview there with Gavin Houlihan, and we'll move on to the match that you and last week's guest presenter, Ciara, was at.
Yeah, she did a great job, and a great game at Oriel on Friday night, John. Obviously, we'll speak later on to Gary Parsons from the East Stand, but I'm sure Shamrock Rovers fans feel aggrieved to have lost this one. Two huge goalkeeping errors were the tail of this game, John.
Okay, so he threw the coin, and who ended up in goals this week?
Yeah, it was Kevin Horgan again this week, and my God, I don't think I've seen a worse goalkeeping performance ever in the League of Ireland.
Yeah, two absolute bad mistakes.
I still don't know. I've watched that second goal so many times, and I just still don't know how he's managed to do that.
No, it's... Oh dear, so it's a mystery, and it's something they're going to have to solve sooner rather than later, because this can't go on, Ciaran. It's costing Rovers points. You know, two errors. You cut them two errors out and they're 1-1-0.
Yeah, in all honesty, I didn't think Dundalk were dazzling on the night, and I've said that a few times about Dundalk this season. I still think, to a large extent, they are still gelling, they're still finding their way. The likes of Adorjan was relatively quiet, did a good job, but not a standout performer. The back line is quite strong, I have to say. Cleary's been fantastic since he came in, but Dan Carr absolutely ran Dundalk ragged on the night, got his goal, the first man to score against Dundalk this season, and deserved it. Obviously Graham Burke hit the crossbar. I thought Sava stepped in very, very well. There was always going to be question marks over him. He made a lot of errors when he stepped into big games in the past for Dundalk, but he was superb on the night. Maybe just decision making off the line needs to improve, but Rovers certainly unlucky to lose this one.
Sava's another one I'm not too hot on, Ciaran, and you know, he went walkabout and run and Finch should have scored early on. But Shamrock Rovers started well in that one, Ciaran. The good counter-attacking. I thought Finn was playing well. Nice cross, Kavanagh shot wide, and like I say, Finch should have scored, but Gannon got back that time to clear off the line. Yeah. Then Dundalk came into it a bit. Pat, how are we going to pronounce his surname this week?
I asked around when I was in Dundalk. I said, I'll take this opportunity to go around and ask as many people as I can. And I've been guaranteed it's Hooban.
So Pat Hooban, he hit the bar when he should have scored early on. And then Michael Duffy was coming more and more, settling in more and more. He had hit the post after a good cross from Gannon as well.
Yeah, should have scored that one. That was probably the best move of the game for me, John. Real flow and football from Dundalk. I thought Duffy absolutely terrorised Boyle on the night. I think he's been an awful sign for Shamrock Rovers. I really don't understand Bradley's thinking in replacing Simon Madden with a player who was relegated with Finn Harps last season.
Ridiculous.
And to pay a big transfer fee for him as well.
Ridiculous. We've talked about this umpteen times. Yeah. Simon Madden, one of the best fullbacks in the league, and he releases him. Crazy. But anyway, we'll move on. Horgan spilling that shot from Pat Hooban.
Yeah, good shot from Hooban. I don't know how Horgan hasn't held that. But good follow up from Robbie Benson, who had a good game on the night, and I think he was given man the match as far as I know.
Yeah, and then we come on to that Chris Shields cross. It was a cross, Ciaran. And what was he doing? Straight through him.
Yeah, it's gone past. It's a poor cross, John. It's not a cross. It's a poor dribbler of a cross. It's gone past one Rovers player, and then Greg Bulger is the closest player to it. He leaves it, and Horgan is looking straight at it. It's not as if he's been caught out. He's looking straight at it. He's just mistimed his dive, and it's gone in under his hand. It's absolutely astonishing, and nobody was more surprised than Chris Shields. First league goal in 5 years, and you could tell by his celebration, he was just absolutely amazed.
It's explicable, but the effect it must have on the team, Ciaran, must be devastating. Yeah. You know, you're playing well, and you've conceded two goals there, which didn't need to be conceded.
I'll tell you, for the next 5 minutes after that, John, Dundalk were really on top. I actually feared for Rovers at that stage. I thought we were going to see three or four go in, because as you said, the effect that goal had, you could just see the back four's head drop. But to Shamrock Rovers' credit, they dug in and stuck in the game. And then Sava, as you mentioned, we said as good of a game he did have, his decision making was a little bit iffy off the line. He chases out and tackles, I think it was Carr, who'd run the ball into the corner.
Made a couple of good saves from Gary Shaw and
Rovers get the corner from that, they score, and then as you mentioned, Gary Shaw's in one-on-one a couple of minutes later, should score. Sava makes a good save. And then Graham Burke, a wonderful volley. It would have been a he's reminded me a lot of McElhenney this season. He's just scoring goals that are in a highlight reel of their own.
Yeah.
And had that gone in, it would have been right up there. But a great save onto the crossbar by Sava. Dundalk held on. A huge win for them. But this is another game that Rovers should have got something from and didn't.
Yeah, one shining light for them. Danny Carr seems to be doing well for them.
Yeah, Carr, and I was impressed by Kavanagh as well on the night. I think he's fitting into that midfield nicely. I do think, though, the rest of the midfielders need to start chipping in. Obviously, Burke's doing his part. He's the top scorer in the league. But I'd like to see a lot more from Ronan Finn. I thought one player who was extremely poor on the night for Shamrock Rovers was Greg Bulger. Passing was astray. Dundalk players seemed to get by him with ease. He was in, obviously, that defensive midfield role. So I think that's a position maybe Stephen Bradley might make a decision on. Obviously, Bulger's a player with huge experience, but no one can be guaranteed their place in that Rovers team. Such a big club, it shouldn't be that way. So we'll see over the next coming few weeks with so many midfield options whether Bradley makes a change there.
Well, Kieran, they could be playing like Barcelona at the moment, but I'm afraid when the keepers are making such basic errors, it's always going to come back to haunt them.
Yeah,
so needs to be fixed. But we'll move on anyway, and a drubbing again for Bray. And this saw the end of Dave Mackie as manager. Pats 5, Bray 0.
You were very angry with the performance of Bray, John. We were speaking about it off air there earlier, so I'm going to pass this one over to you.
Well, they were destroyed, Kieran. There's no other word for it. And they didn't look interested.
Yeah, I don't think you can take issue with a team like Bray that everyone is expecting to struggle getting hammered by a good Pats side. But the lack of effort, they downed the tools, John. There's no question about it. The fifth goal was a perfect example of that. Hugh Douglas is side by side by his Pats opponent. The Pats player just strolls by him, goes round the keeper and taps it in. Just total downing of tools from Bray.
Kieran, how many times this season have we seen Bray being undone by simple balls over the top?
Yeah.
It's schoolboy stuff. It is schoolboy defending, you know. But anyway, the writing was on the wall early on. Simon Madden, he lashed a shot wide early on. And it wasn't long till they took the lead, Pats. And this is a good victory for them, you know. This gave them a bit more confidence going forward in the season. It was Ryan Brennan that powered a header home for the first goal. Pats were denied a penalty when Madden was, in my idea, inexplicably booked for diving simulation, Kieran. It looked a penalty to me.
I'm not sure if it was a penalty, John, but it definitely wasn't a dive. I think some referees just, they seem to think it has to be one or the other. It doesn't always have to be the case. I think there was contact, but it was more of a coming together than a foul, in my opinion. And I think it wasn't a penalty, but never a yellow card for Madden. He's not a player that goes down easily.
No, definitely not. Kevin Toner headed home from a corner 2-0. Conan Bowden scored a penalty. Couple of questions about whether it was in the box, but in the big scheme of things, that's pretty
poor
irrelevant.
Poor tackle anyway, John, regardless. Probably deserved to be punished with a penalty.
It was. Keegan smashed home for the fourth. You've talked about the fifth. Long ball over the top. Dean Clark running onto it, made it 5-0. Bray were destroyed. Dave Mackie resigned. Kieran, some of those players nearly... There's a lot of experienced players in that Bray side. They really need to take a good look at themselves.
Yeah, have to agree, John. As we said, that performance was unacceptable. It's amazing how things quickly have turned at Bray. I was at their first game against Dundalk, and the shape of the team was absolutely fantastic. I was shocked. I was going there expecting a demolition job.
Yeah.
But they had a really good shape and should have won on the night. They had a great couple of chances on the counter-attack. Only for Gary Rogers, Bray would have left Ireland with 3 points. How crazy does that sound now? But this performance and the performances that followed that, we've seen them lose 6-0. I think there was another 5-0 somewhere along the way, maybe a 5-1 as well. They've been hammered in games, and the defendant has been comical. It's been non-existent. As you said, players need to take a long look at themselves, and you've got to feel sorry for Dave Mackie.
Wonder if he lost the dressing room there, Kieran. No, they didn't look like they were playing for him or anything.
No.
And it left him with no choice,
yeah,
really.
I think the writing was on the wall. When you looked at his post-match interview, he said that they were going to sit down and make a decision over the weekend. I think that was basically him saying, I'm off after
I've
that.
Had it,
not taking any more of that rubbish.
No, absolutely not. Well, fair play to Dave, because, you know, you can't stand for, you know, there's only so much you can do as a manager, you know.
And just on the managerial situation, John, good friend of the show there last night tweeted that Martin Russell was taking training. What would you make of that if he is to be the man? Other names been linked are Paul Doolan and Roddy Collins.
Roddy Collins, eh? That would make it's already a bit of a circus down there, so it might fit quite well. Russell, would probably be the man out of those, I would say.
Is that an appointment, if it does take place, is that an appointment with a view to promotion next season?
I don't think so, Kieran. I mean, they'll be hopeful that they'll still... I know, John, come on.
8 points behind Limerick.
Yeah, well, Limerick nearly pulled it off the other season, and Pats did, you know, when they've been down and out. And
where are the players going to come from? They don't have a good enough of a squad.
Well, I don't know. I think they've the players there.
They have a couple of good players. They have Gary McCabe, they have Aaron Green... they have Sullivan midfield. They have a young goalkeeper whose confidence has been absolutely blown apart the last few weeks. The back four is a shambles. They have player Jake Kelly is starting. Come on, he couldn't get a game with Longford Town last season. I'm not being funny, John. That squad is nowhere near good enough to be competing in the Premier Division. We're not talking about them staying up here. We're talking about them competing at the moment. Minus 23 goal difference after 9 games. John, it's gone. Forget about it.
Kieran, you've just written them off completely. And to be fair, you're right, but it needs somebody to go in there. There's a strong motivator. Hopefully, make a couple of changes. But I don't even know if they've got the money to do that, Kieran. You know, you think about all the off-field stuff last season.
Look at the attendances, John.
Yeah, attendance is hopeless this season. Still, at least they'll have an academy to match Barcelona in a few years' time.
Oh my God! Right, I think we're going to move on.
Yeah, move along.
Get and take care.
Right, an absolute thriller, or not, as the case might be. Daily Mount. Bo's really struggling to score this season. I think the top scorer's got 2 goals this season.
Yeah,
0-0 at home to Limerick.
What's going on there, Bo's, John? 9 points on the board. It's not the worst return. Like, they're only 4 points behind St. Pat's. So, like, a top half finish isn't out of the question again. And they have a game in hand on the likes of Shamrock Rovers. But Dinny Corcoran was a superstar last season for Bohemians. He has been woeful so far this season. Has the loss of Akinade been the reason behind that? And obviously, then Fáil Sula midfield, they just don't seem to have the same solid midfield that they did last season.
Yeah, and I think also they came across a keeper that played well on his day. You know, Brendan Clark was excellent. He kept Limerick in it.
Right, Bowes certainly had the chances.
Well, they did, yeah. And, you know, Dylan Watts, he had a good effort that was well saved by Clark. Stokes had a few chances. He pulled off a decent save for Clark. And, you know, he could have scored with another one, but it was a bit of a tame effort again straight at Clark. So, you know, you'd wonder, Bowes certainly lacking a cutting edge. You know, and Limerick could have won this. Marco Sullivan should have scored early on, but he completely missed the ball.
Yeah, playing with a broken hand at the minute, you just wonder if that was affecting him slightly.
Yeah, but look, you know, Bowes should have won it. Brendan Clark played well. They'll be disappointed with Bowes, but as the season's going on, you'd worry a little bit for them.
I don't think they'll be in danger of relegation, John. As we said, they're 8 points clear of Braid, so the automatic is definitely out of the question. Only 2 points clear of Sligo, but I think Sligo have far bigger issues than Bowes at the moment. We'll speak about Limerick in a minute, because I think they're doing extremely well this season, John. Obviously, the huge Dublin derby coming up on Friday. Bowes kicked off their season with that win in Tallaght, and there was so much buzz around the place then.
Yeah.
It's gone flat since then, but if they could recreate that, even pick up a point away from home, it would be a huge boost to Bowes, and I think then we might see a turning point for them.
Indeed, well, we can hope so. Big signing for Limerick this week. They have signed former Chelsea youth player and Dundalk player Conor Clifford, Kieran. What did you make of that?
The man could play for another 100 clubs, John. It's always going to be former Chelsea youth team player. I wasn't impressed with him at his time at Dundalk. I know he didn't get a lot of league minutes, but and scored quite a good few goals in the cup competitions, but didn't make the impact that a lot of people would have hoped. I know you've seen him in the past at the likes of Yeovil. You certainly, from day one when he arrived in the league, you said that you couldn't see him doing a lot. I think players that fall down to such a low level in England, we're talking Bournemouth here, I don't think you can expect a whole lot. Still a young player, so maybe a run of games now in the Limerick side could do him the world of good, and we could be talking about him as one of the top performers in the league next year.
Well,
I certainly won't be getting excited about him.
It's so much like the Adam Morgan situation, you know, falling down the leagues and then moving over here. So I don't know. We'll just have to keep an eye on that, Kieran.
Certainly adds a bit of experience, John. That's the only thing. And that Limerick side, despite being low down in the table, they are a well-experienced side there. We mentioned the likes of Mark Sullivan, Tracy, Sean Kelly, their goalkeeper, Clark, is one of the top men in the league. So plenty of experience. And I think that's why they've recovered so well from that hammering they took against Dundalk. They have a minus 15 goal difference at the moment. But if you take away that game against Dundalk, they've certainly performed extremely well. I think Limerick will be fine this season. If they have to play a playoff, I'm sure they'd fancy their chances of staying up, but after what happened a couple of years ago, they certainly will want to avoid that situation.
Indeed. We'll move on to the next match, Kieran, and it was the match at the Showgrounds. Sligo 0, Derry 2. I was talking to somebody who was a Sligo fan this week. He said it was abysmal.
John, I think Sligo have huge issues on their hands at the moment. 7 points, they're in that playoff relegation spot, 2 points behind Limerick, who, you know, with so much going on in the off-season at Limerick, you would have never expected that. We said from the get-go here, we weren't impressed by the business that was done at the Showgrounds. I don't think the players that arrived have performed to any level at all. I know Morgan had a good little scoring spell there, but he's gone flat in recent weeks. Mm. But I would actually point to the midfield more there. I don't think he's getting the service. I feel there's just a real flatness about Sligo when I watch them. And we had the incident this week. Craig Rodden has left the club by mutual consent. That was certainly a huge surprise, but there's rumours online of a bust-up in the dressing room between himself and Ger Little after that defeat to Derry. So Sligo, huge issues on their hands, and another huge game this weekend against Limerick in what's certainly a six-pointer.
Going back to the match, Kieran, free kick early on for Derry. It was drilled in by Rory Patterson off the wall. That put them one up. Ronan Curtis had a good shot, which was well saved by Slingerman. Second goal came from Ronan Haas. Now, that one should have been saved by Slingerman. What did you make of that one?
Yeah, goalkeeping error there. Slingerman regarded as one of the better goalkeepers in the league. Mm-hmm. So, look, mistakes are going to happen. But it's just a sign of when teams are down there at the bottom, these things happen. And I'm seeing it hard how Sligo get themselves out of this rut.
Could have been three. McAniff blasted a free kick over. But, there was just nothing to report on Sligo's performance.
Nothing.
They were awful. They were set out the wrong way. And you'd really fear for them. I mean, thank goodness for Braid, I'll be saying at the moment, because they just looked awful.
They've scored 8 goals in 9 games, John. They've conceded 16. They've only won one home game out of 6. Everyone talked about the Fortress Showgrounds, considering they only lost 2 games there last season. But you have to remember the amount of games that they drew there last season. It certainly wasn't a good win percentage. And 1 win in 3 away, so it's huge issues at Sligo, but look, we'll speak about that later on again when we're previewing the weekend's action. But we're going to bring you our next interview now, folks, and it's Derry City star Rory Hale. So we're delighted to be joined on the show this week, folks, by Derry City star Rory Hale. Rory, you're very welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Good morning, Kieran. Thank you. Cheers.
So Rory, it's been a good couple of weeks for Derry, starting to pick up a bit of form. The new Brandywell Stadium seems to be a big factor in that. How have you found the experience of playing at your new home?
That's it. It's been brilliant. It was a rocky start. No means three defeats, 1 win, and our first 4 games, and all 4 were away from home. So it was difficult for us. But once we get in that Brandywell, and we beat Limerick 5, the confidence just flying through us, and we knew we switched it up a bit after we got that hammering by Rovers, and we got a new formation, and now everybody knows their rules. So we ain't lost a game since. We've won 5 in a row now. So we've got 2 games at the Brandywell this weekend, home to Waterford Friday and then Bowes on Monday, so hopefully we're picking up another 6 points.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, a huge game coming up on Friday against Waterford. They're the surprise package of the season so far. They look like genuine title contenders. But from a Derry point of view, you mentioned 5 wins in a row there, starting to move up the table now, only a couple of points behind Shamrock Rovers. Is Europe the goal this season for Derry?
Yes, the main target is top 4, obviously, maybe top 3, but this will decide whether we can go and challenge for the title or not this Friday. If we go and beat top of the league on a Friday night, we go 3 points behind Waterford with a game in hand, so that'll decide whether we're challenged for a title or not, or we're just going to try and go for top 4. But the way we're playing at the minute, I'm sure Waterford will be just as nervous for the game as we are with them, because they're top of the league, you know. Mm.
And you mentioned they're maybe pushing for a title. For a team that had a mixed start, and now they've picked up a bit of form, Derry, and as you mentioned, a win over Waterford would be huge. It shows a sign of great character and belief within the dressing room.
That's it. We're a very young team as well. We've only got three or four of the older boys that try and help us out with the experience, but we're such a young squad, and with the shocking start that we did have, we were all more or less wrote off by everybody. Didn't think we would get into the situation we are, and we wouldn't turn it around. But 5 wins in a row shows that the character in the dressing room, you know, we want to win, we want to do well, and we're all young, hungry lads. And hopefully we can just push on for a title this year. Who knows what can happen?
And in terms of the confidence and the character within that dressing room, Rory, How big of a part does Kenny Shields, your manager, play in that? Obviously, it's a he's a man that there's so many headlines written about, and people love to see his passion on the sidelines. He must be a great man to work for.
I'd say he's brilliant. He's the one that got me to the club. He sold me to the club, and he sold me to himself. Like, it's he said it to me when I met him before I signed for Derry, that he seemed like the type of gaffer that I would want to go and play under. He would. You can go and express yourself, you can go and play. He likes to get the ball down and play football, and that suits me to a T. So he's brilliant to work under, and he gives you a lot of confidence as well. And it's just starting to show now. He's got the team gelling together. All the new players are starting to work together, and we're going around nicely, yeah.
Rory, how do you find playing with your brother there, Ronan, this season?
It's been brilliant so far. We haven't played together since we were about 14, 15, so it's been something different. And it was a tough start because we weren't getting the relationship sorted properly on the pitch. I was working in the training ground, but it just wasn't coming off in the pitch. But now that we're starting, he's been playing on the right, so now that I'm getting him the balls in behind to him and getting it into his feet, we're starting to link up well, and the training's paying off. It's coming onto a pitch. I set up one of his goals there on Saturday night against Sligo, so hopefully we can continue. I keep providing the assist for Ronan.
And tell me, you both were over in England when you were younger, both playing in Birmingham, were you?
I was at Aston Villa. I was at Aston Villa for 4 years. Ronan's still at Birmingham. He's still got another year and a half in his contract left, so he's only on loan until June.
Did you ever come up against each other then? The feisty those Birmingham derbies?
Nah, we never ever got to play because different categories. Villa were in Category 1 and Birmingham were in Category 2, so we never got that chance. But it was a great experience over there, both of us. It helped him a lot because I was only half an hour away from him. He was moving over 2 years after I was there, so he enjoyed getting over to come to my house and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, I think we see that quite a lot where Irish players go over to England and they struggle really to settle down, you know, because it tends to be a very young age as well when they go over, so having Ronan there must have helped.
I think Irish people suffer the most with homesickness. Like I struggled for the first few months, but once you get the first few months under you, you're sweet. Like, it's just the mental strength of the game. It's because you're there to try and make a living, and you got to think that way.
And Rory, you must have been delighted to make your Ireland under 21 debut.
I was a long time coming. Now I've been waiting years, a couple of years now for that to happen. It was brilliant for me, especially the start that I had, and especially because Ronan was on the same team as well. So it was just a brilliant night for me.
And obviously, Rory, there was a lot of controversy in the media recently regarding players making different choices allegiant wise for the Republic and the North. What did you make of Michael O'Neill's comments?
Actually, I've never seen them. Like, I got mentioned to them off my family. They were reading it in the newspapers and all, but. It is what it is, you know. He doesn't want to lose some players. Maybe he wasn't that bitter about it. I think it was just that they lost out on Ronan because he never played at the international setups. He never knew too much about him. So I don't know. I wouldn't be deep into what Michael O'Neill says. Mm. He's got his opinion and we've got our opinion. But I think it was just disrespectful the way he went about it, naming the... Well, us two and the two McInniff brothers out in the papers, like, so I think I was just disrespectful and that he went out to the papers to name us four.
And on Aaron McInniff, he's in absolutely sensational form this season, a man we had on the show recently as well. What have you made of his performances for Derry so far this season?
Last few games he's been brilliant. I mean, he's adding goals to his game now as well. First few games, like I said, none of us were actually performing. I know we beat Bowes away, but none of us actually played well that night, except for Jerry, the keeper, with a penalty save. But as he's starting to kick on now, he's probably, you know, one of the most experienced players in the team, and he's so young. But no, he's good to play with. He likes to play football, and he's energetic, and he can finish as well. So he's been brilliant the past few games for us.
And Rory, I have to ask you about your grandfather, Danny Hale. I was doing a bit of research on him today. An absolutely incredible goal scoring record everywhere he went. And of course, he played for Derry City as well. So it must be nice for both yourself and Ronan to both be at Derry now, considering that Danny played there as well.
Aye, it's brilliant. We got him up for the Bray game. That was his first game at the new Brandywell, and he was treated like a king. He was lapping it all up, getting all the photos and all, and they brought him to the club bar afterwards. The Ronan got his player of the month award. So, he lapped it all up, and he's loving it, and all the fans still remember him and all, and then hopefully me and Ronan can do just as good as he did.
Yeah, of course, he won a league title with Dundalk as well. So, as you said there, if Derry can get this win at the weekend, they're bang in contention, and I'm sure that's the dream for both yourself and Ronan to follow in the footsteps and pick up that illustrious League of Ireland title.
Oh, that would be unbelievable. That'd be the icing on the cake, like. But like I said, if we win on Friday, that'll show where we're gonna be in the league. You know, if we lose on Friday, then the five games in a row's been, well, just hasn't been
as positive as it could have been. Yeah,
as positive as it could have been. Yeah. Because we need to beat. I know we need to beat the top four, and we're starting Friday. Hopefully, we can.
Well, Rory, I have to say, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Thank you very much for joining us, and best wishes for Friday night.
Good morning, Kieran. Thank you, mate. Cheers.
Cheers, Rory.
Thanks, Rory.
Cheers, lads. Thank you.
Enjoying the show so far? Why not leave us a review on iTunes? Want something featured on next week's show? Get in touch via Twitter at Between Stripes, or find us on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Finally, our new website address is www.betweenthestripes.ie. Enjoy the second half.
Rory Hale, a class act this season so far, him and his brother making waves, Kieran.
Yeah, and obviously I was reading an article earlier where they both said they have huge ambitions to return to English football, and if they keep up their performances both for club and country at international level, I'm sure English clubs will be queuing.
And you could see the Hale brothers playing together in an Ireland team in the future.
That'd be great to see, John.
Wouldn't it just? Right, we'll move on to the first division because there were some key fixtures there at the weekend, and we start off with Drogheda 2, UCD 0. Two men that are going to score plenty of goals this season, Gareth McCaffrey and Lee Duffy.
Yeah, so for the first time this season, we've seen UCD with an obstacle thrown at them. They looked infallible up until this stage of the season. Absolutely superb performances from the students. But a real test here now, how they bounce back from this defeat. Drogheda have shocked many, I think. I know the easy start to the season with those games against the likes of Athlone and Wexford. But they've been hugely impressive in recent weeks, scoring a lot of goals. And that front two for me, McCaffrey and Duffy, there's probably not too many better in the first division, John.
No, they're looking decent, aren't they? And floodlights were obviously working, Kieran.
Yeah, so it's handy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Look, the match we went to, Kieran, Longford 3, Cabinteely 0. We've talked about how poor we thought Cabinteely had been this season, and yeah, they struggled, didn't they, against Longford, Kieran?
They did, but they did have chances, John, on the night. I thought Marty Waters looked a lot more like the player we'd seen last season, but Longford playing a high line probably played into his hands slightly. Mick McDonald was superb at the back again for Longford Town, as was goalkeeper Mick Kelly, who had to be called into action with a one-on-one save. The scoreline probably flattered Longford in the end. Superb second goal from Peter Hopkins. Great to see him back to fitness.
Yeah, so an own goal in the ninth minute gave Longford the lead. It was credited at the time to Shane Elworthy with a cross, but
Definitely an own goal.
And then Neil Fenn shook it up a bit in the second half, brought on Peter Hopkins and the very highly rated Dean Byrne, and they both got on the score. Yeah, like you say, great to see Hopkins back. He's an absolute talent, and I know he's had that injury, but good to see him back. And, if they can keep the likes of these players, I think you'll see more of Dean Byrne in the season, Kieran. They should be all right.
I was going to bring this up with you in the preview section, John, but we'll discuss it now. Dean Byrne, for me, has performed better this season than Chris Mulhall. I know Mulhall scored a lot of goals, but they've been tap-ins. And I know people will say, well, that's what a poacher's meant to do. He's meant to score goals. Mm. For me, Mulhall doesn't look overly fit, John.
Well, he's got to do more than that in fence formation, hasn't he?
That's my point. Whereas Dean Byrne's coming, he's dropping deep, he's getting linking up with the midfield very well. Yeah. He's a small, jinky player. That third goal he scored, dribbles by two or three Cabinteely players, slide tackles going in around his feet. He doesn't care, he's jumping around them and tucks it into the bottom corner.
Yeah.
Is there going to be a decision time for Neil Fenn on this one?
Well, I think so. I think Dean's going to basically force his hand because he's playing really, really well from what I've seen of him. And, Well, we'll see. But at some stage, there's going to have to be a call by Neil Fenn. But at the moment, he's coming off the bench and he's doing great. So long may it continue. Yeah. There was a massacre. Shelburne 7, Athlone 0. At this stage, if Athlone was a dog, it would have been put down.
Oh, God, John.
No, it's true, Kieran. 7-0. And the man who loves to score against Athlone, he got 4. Davy O'Sullivan.
Do you class that one as a hat-trick or... Because I'm just thinking, he got 3 last season against Athlone. So this is his 4th hat-trick in a row. But he's got 4 here, as you say. So I don't know, let the stats people decide that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, and a hat-trick for Adam Evans as well, who's a player I've always really liked. And I think we'll see a lot more from him now after this. Athlone, embarrassing for the league, I'm sorry.
Yeah, like I say, should have been put down.
Right, move along, John, quick, before he gets in trouble.
Yeah, a couple of teams that are underperforming this season. Wexford against Cove, finish 1-1. Dobbs for Wexford. McLavy equalising for Cove.
Cove already out of the playoff hunt, John. 5 points. You have Galway on 9, Longford Town on 11.
Yeah, they're struggling
a bit. They're struggling, really struggling for goals. They've only got 4 goals in their 6 games. Defence isn't overly bad, John. They've only conceded 8 in the 6, which is one of the better defensive records in the league. But as we've said week after week, they're lacking that... proven number 9, I suppose.
Yeah, they certainly are. And we've talked about all the teams above them, that they've got decent goal scorers in there. They just haven't got that at the moment, Cove. And that's why they're struggling, I'm afraid.
Aaron Dobbs off the mark for Wexford, a player we expected a lot from this season. So maybe now we might just start to see a little bit more from him. Wexford, another team who really, really struggling for goals this season.
Yeah, indeed. And not great at the back neither, Kieran, to be honest.
Are they going to match? We all thought they'd have no problem matching their 4 wins they picked up last season, but they've only got 1 at the moment. Are they going to be able to pick up those 4 wins?
Well, they've got a couple against Athlone to come, haven't they? So, look, we'll see, Kieran.
It's a very disappointing season overall, though, for Wexford. We expected them to kick on, and it's just not happening down there.
No, definitely not. We'll move on to the fixtures this week, because there's a cracker at the top of the league, Kieran. I know you're going. I'll be stuck here at work. Drogheda against Longford.
Yeah, really excited for this one, John. The Drogs are in flying form. They're banging goals in for fun. Longford Town, no problem scoring goals themselves either. But they weren't overly convincing against Cabinteely. But like I said to you off air there, John, I really feel Longford are upping themselves for the big games. Their performance away in Galway was superb. Very unlucky to lose in Talca Park against Shelburne. So this is another big test for Neil Fenn's men. And as I've said time after time on the show regarding the First Division this season, if you're picking up points away from home and you're winning your home games, it's a good formula going forward. Longford Town only 2 points off top at present, so another draw will do them fine here.
You're going for a draw, are you?
No, I'm just saying it would be a good result for Longford if they can pick it up. The good thing for Longford point of view, this is a ground that they seem to like. 7 wins in their last 16 at United Park, so that's a good record. I think the front 2 for Drogheda, as I said, really, really good in McCaffrey and former Longford man Duffy, who I'm sure will be able to prove a point against his former side. Neil Fenn has that decision to make whether he goes with Mulhall or Dean Byrne. I'm sure he'll go with Mulhall against his former side, but Byrne will be there to come off the bench if needed. Hopkins will see whether he's fully fit to play a full 90 minutes. He would certainly cause Drogheda problems at the back. There's going to be a lot of goals, that's all I'm going to say.
Alright, fair enough. Okay, Kieran. Another good match at the top there, UCD against Finn Harps. So that's UCD knocked off the top of the league. Finn Harps had a weekend off, so how's this going, Kieran?
Yeah, as I said earlier, this is UCD's first real obstacle, that defeat to Drogheda, so they'll have to bounce back from that. Harps have been underwhelming so far this season, John. Only 2 wins in their 5 games. I'm wondering if that's down to a lot of they've been hit more than any other side this season by postponements. They had another one at the weekend when they were supposed to host Galway. So we'll see whether that was a welcome week off or whether they're going to come out a little rusty for this one. UCD scoring a lot of goals. Georgie Kelly's in good form. I've got to go with a UCD win.
Yeah, I'm going with that with you as well, Kieran. Moving on, this looks pretty straightforward. Galway host Wexford.
Yeah, but another side, Galway, that have underwhelmed for me, a below par start. Again, only 2 wins in their 5. Also, like I said, with Harps, no fixture last week. So is that rest or rust for Galway? Wexford draw 1-1 with Cove at the weekend. Their defence has improved a hell of a lot, John, since they lost 8-1 to Drogheda, so that's a positive. And with Aaron Dobbs getting off the mark, you'd be hopeful now that they're going to start scoring a few more goals. But you feel that Galway will have too much firepower for them here. Galway win.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that one as well. Moving on, Cabinteely, who have had a very stuttering start to the season. They're at home to Shell's team that are on fire at the moment.
Yeah, Cabo poor against Longford. As I said, they did miss chances, but overall their style of play was quite poor to watch. And you'd expect the better sides. Will Carb opened the back four, which was extremely open on the night. Marty Waters slowly showing signs of his old self, but there's just too much reliance on him, I'm afraid. Defensively woeful, as I said, they've conceded 14 and 7. David O'Sullivan is the top scorer in division, 9 goals in 6 games, 4 against Athlone at the weekend. Shells win, and I think by a big score.
Yeah, Shells win for me as well, Kieran. And final match, battle towards the bottom, well, at the bottom for Athlone. Athlone at home to Cove, Kieran.
So Cove disappointing this season. I would argue they're already out of the promotion hunt. I'm sure Stephen Henderson would strongly disagree with me on that one. Only 4 goals in 6. This is a test for them. If they were to slip up in this one, it would be really demoralising for Cove. You'd wonder if things would fall apart after that. They have to come out and show the character that they have over the last couple of seasons. I'm going to back them for a win. I did it last week and they let me down. So, go on, Hendo, get them up.
Yeah, Cove win?
Yeah, Cove win.
Yeah, and we should just say Drogheda versus Longford. You didn't give me a prediction.
You're not going to make me make a prediction.
I am. Yeah. There's beer involved.
Oh, God. I can't do it, John.
Right.
Well, I can't do it.
Pathetic, Kieran.
What's your prediction?
Longford are going to win that.
I'm just going to go for Drogheda solely just to disagree with you. Drogheda win, but I hope I'm wrong.
Right, okay, we'll move on. Right, Premier League, some big matches ahead and none bigger than the one at the Brandywell. Derry against joint top Waterford.
Yeah, so Waterford, this will be the first game where they're going to be without the likes of Bastian Heary, Stanley Abora through suspension after that fracas down at the RSC against Cork. So big test there. And a man we mentioned earlier in the show, John, Aaron McInniff's in superb form this season. So you're just wondering if there's going to be a bit of space in the midfield for him to exploit. Derry, 3 wins from 3 at home since moving to the Brandywell. Waterford have a 50% away win rate this season. They only lost to 2 of the top sides in Dundalk and Cork, so their away form is good. They're the shock early leaders, only behind Dundalk on goal difference. It was a poor start for Derry, but they've bounced back. They're now just 4 points off Cork in third. Waterford obviously won the opening meeting of the season 2-1 with goals from our guest Gavin Houlihan and Dean O'Halloran. You've mentioned the man in goals. He's been superb for the Blues. It's a tough one to call. I've got to go for a Derry win with those suspensions.
Have you? Well, I've gone the same, actually. Derry win, home win. So we'll see on that one, though. Next fixture is Cork against Pats, but we should mention, Kieran, big news out of St. Pat's, a proposal for a new ground.
Well, yeah, it's come as a shock out of nowhere, really, John. 12,000 ground as well. It's not a tin pot job they're talking about here.
It looks fantastic.
It looks absolutely superb. Would regenerate the whole area. Mm-hmm. Extremely welcomed by everyone, not just in the League of Ireland, but in the community in Inchicore, I'm sure. And we wish Pats the best of luck with it. Hopefully it will take off.
This is what League of Ireland needs. It needs great grounds. We were talking before we started recording about the level that Irish teams need to be in Europe, and we're comparing them with like the Norwegian league, and you know, but we looked at the grounds at like Rosenborg and things like that, and we're nowhere near that at the moment. This is a start, Kieran. It looks fantastic. 12,000 all seater. I know people are saying, oh, it'll only be, you know, you won't get that many. But if you build a ground like that, people will come and watch that.
Yeah, you know,
it'll be a pleasant place to go and watch a match. Fantastic environment, and hopefully some great football.
It's strange.
Match.
I was actually thinking about this earlier before the news even came out. I was just thinking the League of Ireland grounds really are improving a lot compared to recent years. It was a huge excuse for people not to come out, but you look at the new Brandywell.
Yeah, fantastic.
You look at Limerick, what they've done over the last couple of years. Tallaght, there's plans there for a new stand.
Yeah,
Oriel, you'd hope eventually something's going to be done there with the money they have. The new plans now at Pats, Turner's Cross, superb ground. The Showground, superb. Even in the First Division, Longford, Waterford, obviously, as well in the Premier. So the grounds really are improving. There's only one or two that are really letting things down at the moment. Even Drogheda have plans to hopefully get to a new stadium. And obviously, we spoke to Nigel Hegarty last week about Finn Harp's plans for a new stadium. So things are really improving in that regard. As we said, we hope this takes off with Pats. And I'm sure we'll speak about it in the coming weeks with maybe a couple of guests.
Indeed. Cork dethroned as league leaders there at the weekend at home to Pats. You'd think that'd be a home win, Kieran. Anything to suggest it might go the other way?
Pats probably at a big disadvantage in the fact that they played all the way to a penalty shootout midweek against Dundalk in a thrilling League Cup tie that was eventually won 8-7 by the Lily Whites on penalties. A player that's really impressed me though for St. Pat's, John, has been Jamie Lennon.
Oh, he's very good, isn't he? Yeah, he's been very good this season.
And another big talking point we'll have to touch on St. Pat's. Jake Keegan started the game against Bray ahead of Christy Fagan, got 2 goals. Fagan hasn't been delivering over the last 2 seasons, And Fagan, in fact, started that League Cup game midweek, which would suggest that Keegan's going to get the nod for this one again. Is he the new Fagan?
Well, you can't drop a lad that scored goals like that, no. Can you? It's you still think Christy Fagan's still got the class there, though, don't you, Kieran?
Mm. A good player to bring off the bench, John. You've looked at it that way, too.
Well, that's true, yeah. Kieran, a prediction for that one, please.
Cork going to be missing a couple with suspension, Caulfield touchline ban. But Pats, I just still feel are a little bit flaky, a little bit mixed performance-wise. I've got to go with a Cork win.
Okay, I'm going to agree with that as well. Certainly the bell won't be as ringing as much as it did last weekend. Moving to talking about Bray, they host Dundalk, Kieran. Any hope for Bray?
No, I can only see a massacre here, John. I know that's what everyone expected in the opening game and it ended 0-0, but
yeah.
So much has just gone on in Bray in the last couple of weeks. We spoke about the players down in Tools. Maybe a new manager coming in could help that. Graham Kelly is going to be the caretaker for the weekend. I think you might even see Dundalk mix it up a little bit here. Marco Tagjumi played a cracker up in Richmond the other night. Maybe he'll get the nod or at least play some part in this one. Dundalk just have too many players in good form at the moment. Robbie Benson, Shields, Cleary, they're all Hoban. They're all in great form. I can't see anything but a cricket score.
Right, that's a bit harsh on Bray, but you know the way they're going. You could be right, Kieran. You could be right. Dundalk's defence has finally breached though last week, so there may be a chink of light, but
not an issue.
Not an issue.
No.
Final match, and I know we're going to go to an interview after this. Limerick against Sligo, Kieran. Two teams in the wrong half of the table. Sligo absolutely hopeless last week. Limerick, good performance by the goalkeeper. Where do you see this one going?
Yeah, you can't be forgetting this one, John. This is a 6-pointer down in the playoff positions. As I've said, I've been impressed with Limerick. I think they've showed good maturity in the way they've bounced back from that result at Ariel. Sligo looks to be infighting going on there now, John. And you'd have to worry for Gerard Little if he was to lose this one. Is his future going to be on the line?
You'd worry about them a bit. What do you think's gone wrong there, Kieran?
I just think the last couple of years they've been on a slow decline, John, down that table. We're used to Sligo challenging for titles, challenging for Europe, challenging for cups. The last couple of years they've been in relegation dogfights. There was so much hype about them in the off-season, which I thought was ridiculous. I didn't think the players they brought in were good enough. A lot of them weren't familiar with the League of Ireland, and it's really, really showing now. There's not enough fight, there's not enough character, there's not enough experience for me. I think Limerick win this one.
Not enough investment in the team, neither, Kieran.
No, definitely not, John.
No, so that's what's costing them. I mean, they nearly went down previous season, so...
Yeah, very lucky to stay up last year.
Very, very lucky to stay up. And I think they're, like I say, they're thankful that Bray are in this season.
This is a higher standard of league this year, John, by a country mile. Bray are the only ones letting it down at the moment. So for Sligo to only stay up by the skin of their teeth last season, to not recruit well in the off-season, they're not scoring goals, they're conceding goals, it's not a good mix, goalkeeper making mistakes... players leaving now after bust-ups, reported bust-ups. It's a toxic mix, John. And I think if they lose this one, they are bang in trouble.
I think they're going to get a point here, Kieran, but I think it's going to be a dour 0-0.
Right.
Yeah, Little needs to set him up a bit more attacking than he has been doing and playing one up front. And,
yeah, it's been so toothless.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Let's end it with the big one, John.
Yeah, Shamrock Rovers at home to Bowes. I love these Dublin derbies.
Yeah, so obviously everyone knows that Bowes won the first game of the season 3-1. Dan Casey with a double, Paddy Kavanagh with the other one. Bowes have really dropped performance-wise since then.
Mm.
We've touched on the goalkeeping situation. Who do you feel he'll go with this week, John?
I don't know. Flip a coin as normal.
Rovers unbeaten at home, 4 wins and a draw. Bowes yet to win away. They're the only side with Bray that have no away wins. So that's a big worry there going into this one. Bowes aren't scoring. 8 goals in 10 games. Ian Morris is their top scorer with 2. So as we mentioned, Dinny Corcoran just hasn't showed up this season. Graham Burke has 7 goals alone, so that really points out how big of an issue this is for Bowes.
Mm.
For me, Rovers must win this one to keep pace with Cork. I feel if they lose one, the title is certainly gone. You'd imagine Europe is a must for Rovers. I'm sure they will get there, but they need to be winning games like this.
Yeah, failure to get Europe would be a disaster for Rovers. But I think they will win this, Kieran.
Yeah.
You know, I know we've talked about the goalkeeper being too shabby, but I don't think they'll be pressurised too much by Bowes that are out of form at the moment. Home win for me, Kieran.
So just to go back on that, John, just for our St Mel's prediction game, for anyone that missed out last week, St Mel's Brewery in Longford here have kindly put up a crate of their fine craft beer on offer for a prediction game this season. So whoever comes out on top at the end of the year will win that lovely big juicy crate of beer. So I have gone for Derry, Cork, Dundalk, Limerick, Rovers, whereas John has gone for Derry, Cork, Dundalk, a draw in the Limerick Sligo game, and Rovers. So it's a tight prediction wise there, John.
It is indeed, but I think you'll find I'll win.
we'll see. Folks, we're going to bring you our final interview of the night now. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with the fantastic Tales from the East End Shamrock Rovers podcast, and Gary Parsons joins us now to discuss all the goings on at the Tala Club. So, as always, we love to have fan interviews on the show, and this week we have another podcast, one of the more established ones, been around for a couple of years now, and I have to say, it's a really good listen. It's the Tales from the East End podcast, and Gary Parsons, Shamrock Rovers fan, joins us now. Gary, you're very welcome to the show.
Cheers for having me on, lads. You're flattering me.
So, Gary, a lot of talk about Rovers at the minute. Obviously, there was huge expectations, as there is every year. It's been a mixed start. Obviously, it could have been a lot better if... I suppose the goalkeeping situation is the first thing we're going to have to touch on. Another defeat at the weekend in a game where Rovers certainly weren't outclassed by Dundalk, but two huge mistakes from Kevin Horgan let the hoops down on the night.
It's the elephant in the room at the moment with Rovers, because it's a situation that needs to be addressed sooner rather than later, because it's, I mean, all the big games, and looking at all our away games as well. I mean, you look at the Waterford game, the 2-1. I mean, there was mistakes there from Tom Marchinski, and now. And then we're doing the same thing again. Let's be honest, there were two poor goalkeeping mistakes against Dundalk. And I felt we were in the game for long periods of time, and we had a lot of chances. And even Soccer Republic, they didn't show the offside goal, which I thought was crazy. And I think Sean Kavanagh was at least 2 or 3 yards offside. But listen, hindsight is great, and we can talk about that all day. But I genuinely think that we've given in every defeat we've given a great account of ourselves, and I still think we might have a say in the title.
Yeah, Gary, I'm just thinking, most weeks we talk about goalkeeping errors by Rovers. Where would they be if they had a decent keeper? They could be top now.
Exactly. I mean, if we had, let's say, I don't know, I mean, I think we still haven't replaced Alan Manis, and it's the same with a striker as well. We haven't replaced Gary Tweed. We haven't had a prolific striker since Gary Tweed. We haven't had a solid goalkeeper since Alan Manis. And it is a problem that needs to be addressed sooner rather than later, like I said. And it's what everybody is talking about. I mean, I'll go into work and I'll chat to guys and we'll talk about the games. And the first thing they're talking about is the goalkeeping situation. And these are guys who wouldn't normally talk about League of Ireland to you, but it is the elephant in the room, and it's a glaring thing at this stage. So I think we're gonna, like Alan Cawley said on Soccer Republic, we're gonna have to pick one and just stick with them now at this stage, because I think the chopping and changing isn't doing anything for their confidence, either one of the guys. So it's definitely something that we do need to address.
It's funny, me and Kieran were just talking about that actually, and I said, you know, if somebody does make a mistake, you have to drop them. But
I'd certainly be in the same camp as Alan Cawley. I think the example he gave regarding Liverpool was a fantastic one. Their two goalkeepers are rubbish. Let's call a spade here. But Karius has come in and he hasn't done that badly, because he's been in there and he's kept his position. I think a decision now needs to be made by Stephen Bradley. Stick with that goalkeeper, and as soon as the summer come round, get a new one in, because it's clear that the two lads there, they're just not of the quality to be at a club like Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, I think so. But the thing is, I think he did stick with Horgan. I think it was the first 5 games that he went with him, and he was sticking with him. Fair, like you said, you make a mistake. Okay, he was dropped, but then Tomer came in, and then Tomer struggled in Waterford, and he didn't look confident. So he dropped him, and then he brought Horgan in, and then Dundalk happened. So it really is, as a fan, it's so frustrating, because I'll be honest, this is the best football I've ever seen Rovers play, because I genuinely thought, like, I mean, if you count the chances, you can count the chances on two hands against Dundalk. You had the disallowed goal, there was Shawsey should have buried one, there was... I think Bourke hit the bar. There was a lot of chances there. Cavanagh in the first half should have buried the shot. So we are creating the chances. We're just not taking them. And like I said, I think he's going to be a big player in the coming weeks. I think we just need to get him in the box and scoring goals, because he's dropping deep quite a lot and he's doing a lot of good stuff outside the box. But if we get balls into him, get him in the box, I think we're going to start scoring goals. But like you said, we need to sort out our goalkeeping situation.
Yeah, and it is a shame, because I've watched a lot of Rovers this season, and you know, I think that they're good to watch. They're playing some nice stuff. They're just being let down by the goalkeeping situation. I know I said a few weeks ago that I thought they were the real deal going forward. They look good. Graham Burke's on fire. You know, they look the job. I still think maybe they're missing somebody to score a few more goals. But generally with Melee, Burke and so on, you know, they definitely look a decent outfit.
From what I've seen, this season so far. Danny Carr, he's like a fox in the box. He's a poacher. But like, he has something else to his game as well. And the way we have him playing at the moment, he's up top, but he drops deep, like they could say a false nine. And he brings our other three players in behind him, like Brandon Milley, Bourke, and Joel Coustrain, who we tried to bring in. But what I'd like to see him is, I'd like to see him getting into the box and us, maybe our wingers, hug the touchline and go wide and whip balls in, because that's something that we don't really do. And then he kind of looks lethal in the box. So I think that's another, we could switch it up a little bit. But as regards to Friday, I was watching the women's game last night and the pitch is looking chopped up, and that could come into play as well. I mean, it won't be like a snooker table, so you're not going to be able to play that much good football on it. That's going to be a big factor on Friday. And Bowes, I think that'll suit Bowes down to the ground. They'll want to turn this into a battle. They're not doing any media this week as well, so they're really focused. They've had a ban from Keith Long and the media. I reckon that if we get the ball down and play a normal game, I think we'll beat them comprehensively. I'm going to call it 3-1. I don't think we'll keep a clean sheet, but I genuinely think we'll beat them if we play football. But if it's turned into a battle, it could go anyway.
Gary, it's very rare that I agree with everything one of our guests have to say, but everything you've said on Rovers there, I have to agree with. I think Carr, I was at the game on Friday in Oriel, and I thought Carr was absolutely almost unplayable at times. He ran that Dundalk back four absolutely ragged, and he's the first man obviously to score this season against Dundalk, so that says everything in itself. He's just so pacey, so lively, but as you said, does drop very deep. But I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I said it on last week's show, it's allowing the likes of Graham Burke to get in behind, and I think it's a major factor in why Burke has scored so many goals this season. I just feel that the other midfield players, especially the likes of Finn there, I don't think he's delivered since he's arrived at Rovers. The likes of those players need to really get beyond Carr when they can and start scoring more goals. And I've said it a few times on the show, I'd love to see in the games where Rovers are expected to dominate the games, I'm talking against the likes of Bray and the lower half teams, I'd love to see Gary Shaw and Carr play together.
Do you know what, funnily enough that you said that, I was only speaking about this on our show earlier on, and we were talking that would they fit together, would they play well, but if you're going to play that 4-4-2, or you're going to have to drop probably Bourke and play him out of position, because he doesn't really do it for me on the wing. He doesn't get that freedom, because he pretty much has a free role for Rovers. Put him in and he does what he wants. He plays really well in that free role. But if you're going to play two up top, then you're going to have to sacrifice him. Maybe play a diamond, play him in behind the two. But listen, I would love to see the two guys play for him, because Shawzy, my tip, it's fallen flat on its face at the moment. My tip was Shawzy to score 20 goals this season, but it's not happening at the moment. Plenty of time. I mean, he might need to get the scoring boots on really quickly to do it, but I would love to see the two of them up front and see how they get on together, especially against the Bowers, who will want to have a battle on Friday.
Yeah, big fan of Gary Shaw, myself and John here, but I don't, even at Longford he wasn't the most prolific of scorers, a real workhorse, and he created a lot of chances. And I think the reason David O'Sullivan was so prolific for Longford down the years was down to Gary Shaw a lot of the time. But moving on, Gary, as you said, huge game against Bowes on Friday, just 5 points behind at the moment Rovers, but if they were to lose this one, I know it probably seems unlikely, Bowes aren't in great form and they did get that upset win at the start of the season, so Rovers will be out to prove a point, but if things were to go pear-shaped for Rovers on Friday, do you feel the title could be already gone?
This is a massive game. I think at this point last year we 12 points and we've 16 this year, and it's huge. I think it's not going to make or break the season, but it would be a massive blow if we didn't get anything less than 3 points. And we've a game in hand as well. We've played a match more than Dundalk and Cork as well. So what would the gap be? 8 points now if we lost. And if they get good results, I think that's a lot at this stage. And we'll have to really start playing well. But I genuinely don't think we'll get anything less than 3 points. But if we did lose, it would be a massive blow. And it would invite a lot of pressure on Stephen Bradley then, because it's a derby loss, and the whole goalkeeping situation, add it all together in the mix, it just wouldn't be good, because the media would be able to get him then, you know.
Gary, you're reading my mind here, because my final question for you was going to be regarding Stephen Bradley. Trophyless season last year, Rovers, I felt in a lot of the big games crumbled. I'm thinking of the cup, the EA Cup final against Dundalk, they were absolutely hammered in their own ground. Cup semi-final, they should have beaten Dundalk over them two games. They bottled it, in all honesty. I don't want to be disrespectful, but that's just how I felt watching those games. Trophyless season, as I mentioned.
No, I disagree with the game in Tala with the 4-2.
Yeah.
I disagree, but listen, that's for another day.
Yeah, but Rovers are a huge club, huge tradition. They should be winning trophies on a consistent basis. if Rovers are to have another trophyless season, what's the feeling amongst the fan base? I know there's a lot of talk about the good football Bradley's playing, but at the end of the day, it's all about trophies, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. But at the moment, there's a lot of positivity with the way the club's being run at the moment, because there's a lot of good things going on off the field with the Roadstone project. And you have, like, obviously the first team comes first, but there's a lot of positivity because there's so much going on and it's a long term plan. But I genuinely think we do need a trophy this season to show some sort of progress for what we've done, because we're really progressing well. And I think this team deserves a trophy because they're playing really well and they're working hard. And like I said, we work closely with them and with interviews and things like that, and we're up at the Roadstone and we see how hard the team works. We see how dedicated the football department is with Stephen Bradley, McPhail and Duffer and all the guys. They're there for hours upon hours every day. If we didn't win a trophy, would the Wolves be out? Obviously, there's some fans that would want them to see him gone if he didn't win a trophy, but I genuinely see it in the long run. I'm looking at the Roadstone bringing two players. I'm looking at the type of football that we're playing. I'm looking at long term, but if we didn't win a trophy, there would be fans who would want to see his head on the chopping block. But personally, not me. I think he's doing a fantastic job, and I'm looking at long term because in the last couple of years, we've turned into one of those clubs that have been chopping and changing managers constantly, and that's something that I despise in football. So I think we need a bit of solidarity now at this stage.
Gary, been absolute pleasure having you on. Thanks very much for your great analysis on Shamrock Rovers. Keep up the great work with the podcast, and thanks very much for joining us.
Yeah, cheers, lads. Appreciate it, right?
Cheers, Gary.
See you now. Good luck in Drogheda.
Thanks very much. Good luck.
Yeah, I'll see you now.
BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga. Based in Buncrana, County Donegal, Diaga are world leaders in top-class logo and graphic design, website building, film production, illustration, and much more. For further information, please visit Diaga.ie.
That was an absolutely superb chat there with Gary Parsons, I have to say, John. That's been this week's show, folks. Series 2, Episode 8 has come to an end. Three absolutely fantastic guests. Thanks to each and every one of them for joining us. Thanks to everyone that is continuing to tune in to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. As ever, we're on Facebook. Simply search Between the Stripes and give us a like there. We are on Twitter, at Between Stripes is our handle. We'd love to get a follow on that. We're on Instagram and Snapchat. You can get links there on any of our social media pages as to those. And obviously, the big one we all want you to check out is our new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, where you can access the podcast. We're also on iTunes, Audioboom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast, Podcast Republic. Simply search Between the Stripes LOI podcast on any of those platforms. Please do hit the subscribe button. Feel free to leave a review. And obviously, if you can share the link around on your social media pages, it would mean an awful lot to us. We'll be back next week with another bumper edition of the show. And until then, folks, thanks for listening.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audioboom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit BetweenTheStripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.